There was a man standing in the middle of the Belle Isle Bridge against the rail. He was standing there just staring out at the Detroit River. And he stood there for a long time, just looking out at the river. And then he began to climb the rail. And as he did, there was a policeman that came by. And the policeman hollered at him, "Listen, you can't do that. You have to stay on this side of the rail." And the man hollered back, "No." He said, "I'm done. I can't no more. I can't take anymore. I'm getting out, and I'm getting out now." And the policeman pleaded with him, "No, you can't do this. Come back over here." He says, "No, I'm done. I'm done." And the policeman pleaded more. "Look, give me 5 minutes to talk you out of this. Just 5 minutes to talk you out of it." And so the policeman started talking to him. And they talked back and forth, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And 30 minutes later, this gentleman and the policeman both jumped off the Belle Isle Bridge. We face a lot of difficulties in life. You must choose. You must choose. Either life is going to handle you, or you are going to learn how to handle life. Look with me this morning in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And in this section, Jesus talks about a difficulty that every one of us have. Some of us have the difficulty worse than others, and many people's lives are controlled by it. The difficulty that Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, is that Jesus here is dealing with worry. I want you to listen to what our Lord said about worry. Beginning with verse 25, and every time we come across the word worry, I want you to underline it. Verse 25. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry." Underline that word. If you have an older translation, it may say, "take no thought." The idea behind the phrase "take no thought" is that people were giving too much thought to it, and they kept thinking and kept thinking until they began to worry about it. So it's the same thing. Drop down to verse 27. "Who of you by worrying," underline the word worrying. Verse 28, Jesus said, "and why do you worry?" Underline that word again. Drop down to verse 31. "So why do you worry?" Underline the word worry. Finally, drop down to verse 34. "Therefore, do not worry." underline it, and keep going. About tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry. Underline the word worry again. Now look at what you've underlined. Look at what you have here. Jesus uses the word worry in 5 different verses here. And every time he uses the word, when you study the passage contextually together, every time he uses the word, Jesus is giving us a truth to help us to work through our anxiety. So every time he used the word in those 5 verses, Jesus was saying, here is a truth that you need, and this truth will help you when you're dealing with anxiety or when you're dealing with worry in your life. So our subject this morning is this: Jesus' answer to our anxiety. Here is the Lord giving us the answer. Here is anxiety. Here is the answer to how to deal with it. Is everybody with me? Let's take a look at these 5 truths. Number 1. Jesus says the answer to anxiety is to learn to see your value in the eyes of God. Learn to see your value in the eyes of God. Here's what I mean. Learn to see yourself as God sees you. Look at verse 25 and verse 26. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not your life more important than food, and your body more important than clothes? Look carefully, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now I want you to look at verse 26 with me. We're going to take it apart. Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away into barns. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a bird plow? I haven't either. Have you ever seen a bird harvest a field or harvest a garden? I haven't either. Have you ever seen a bird starve to death? I haven't either. Not one starves to death. So why? Why? Look at the next phrase in verse 26. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Brethren, God cares for the birds. God cares for the fowls of the air. Now look at the rest, the end of verse 26. Are you not much more valuable than they? Look what he says. Jesus doesn't say you are as valuable as the birds. Jesus doesn't say you are more valuable than the birds. Jesus says you are much more valuable than the birds. Now, what is the implication of what he's saying to us? What is the implication of the passage? The implication is that if God cares for the birds, and if you are much more valuable than the birds, then God will care for you. We need to learn to see ourselves as God sees us. We need to learn to see our value from the eyes of God. If God is caring for the birds and I'm much more valuable than that, then that's telling me God is going to care for me. Now, if God is caring for you, what are you worrying about? Learn to see your value from the eyes of God. Now, I want to show you something. Hold Matthew 6. Put something in there to hold that, and I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 12, and I want to show you something fascinating about God. Luke chapter 12. Verse 6, again Jesus, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Now look at me. 2 pennies, your translation may say copper coins. 2 pennies would get me 5 sparrows. Do you see that? 2 pennies will get me 5 sparrows. Now listen to me. Look at me. In Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 29, Jesus says that 1 penny will get you 2 sparrows. So for 1 penny, I can get 2 sparrows, or for 2 pennies, I can get 5 sparrows. So that's like buy 4, get 1 free. Do you see it? Buy 4, get 1 free. Now, here's what that verse says. What that verse says is that sparrows are not very valuable. Look, anything you can get 2 of for a penny is just not very valuable. You got it? Listen. 2 for a penny? 2 for a penny? 5 for 2 pennies? Now look at the rest of verse 6. Yet not one of them, the sparrows, yet not one of them is forgotten by God. God is even mindful of the 5th sparrow. God is even mindful of the one that's free. Look at verse 7. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Listen, if God cares enough about you to keep count of how many hairs are on your head, do you think there's something about you God doesn't know? God knows when you hurt. God knows when you are anxious. God knows when you are bothered. God knows when there is drama in your life. God knows this. Learn to see your value in the eyes of God. Listen to me. I mean something to God. I mean something to God. I am valuable in the eyes of God. And God is going to care for me the best way he deems fit. And if that's true, what are you worried about? Jesus, what are you doing? I'm giving you the answer to your anxiety. Here is the thing you are letting, here is the thing you are allowing to just crush you emotionally. Here is the answer. Look at yourself in value as God sees you. Listen, that doesn't mean I'm something because of me. I'm nothing because of me. I am only valuable because of how God sees me. Bless God, the foxes are above the birds. Learn to see your value in the eyes of God. All this other stuff in creation that God's taking care of, you are way above that. If God is going to care for the lesser, then God will care for the greater. Jesus' answer to your anxiety. Number two. Learn to accept the things you cannot change. You need to let that soak a minute. That just needs a soak. Learn to accept the things you cannot change. Look at verse 27. That's the next time. Matthew 6, that's the next time he uses the word, verse 27. Jesus said, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" Matthew 6, verse 27 has two possible meanings. The first meaning is that Jesus may be having reference to the longevity of your life. Listen, if you sit around worrying about how old you're going to be, worrying about how old you are isn't going to make you any older. But sitting around worrying about how old you're going to live to be could kill you. The worrying about it. So he could be having reference to the longevity of life. Well, I'm worried that I'm not going to live to be 80. That's not going to help me to live to be 80. The other meaning that this verse possibly has is he's talking about the physical features of your life. Your physical features. In other words, worrying about being short doesn't make you any taller. Amen. Worrying about being tall doesn't make you any shorter. Lord help you, if your eyes or your nose or your ears just isn't the way you... Look, worrying about it isn't going to change it. I am 5'10", maybe, on a good day. I am 5'10", and there's absolutely nothing in the world I can do about that. Are you listening? You will never, ever, ever in your life do anything more futile than sit around worrying about things you cannot change. Listen, somebody said that worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't take you nowhere. And we know this. We know this. Learn to accept the things in life that you cannot change. Let me illustrate. At 6 months of age, she went totally blind. As an adult, she said, quote, "I am the happiest person on earth." She was a writer. Blind, but a writer. And she turned her attention to writing hymns. Her name was Fanny Crosby. Every hymn we have sung this morning was written by her. Blessed Assurance, A Wonderful Savior, Pleading with Jesus. Listen. If anybody had an excuse to just crawl up in a corner and complain about how unfair life is, if anybody had an excuse to just crawl over in a corner and say, "Well, God must not love me, and wait, if God loved me, why is all of this happening?" But that's not what she did. And I want to ask you this morning, think about, dare I say, think about the hundreds of thousands of people who have been helped and who have been encouraged by the hymns that she wrote. Instead of whining and complaining and cussing God about it, she rose up. Why? Because she learned to accept the things that she could not change. We all have stuff we wish we could change. I mean, I look good, but there's some touches I could have. Right? Amen, right? I'm going to say that sentence again. You will never in your life do anything more futile then sit down and worry about something you can't change. Listen, if you can control it, then get with it. If you can't control it, say, "Bless God, it's in God's hands." This is Jesus' answer. Listen, this isn't my answer. This is the Lord's answer. This is the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount saying, "All right, anxiety is a universal problem. Everybody's got it. So here's the answer to it. First, see your value in the eyes of God. God thinks you're something. Then learn to accept the things that you cannot change." Number three. And boy, we're hitting the root of the tree right here. Number three, Jesus' answer to anxiety is this: learn to trust in God. Look at verse 28, Matthew 6, 28, 29, and 30. Look at this. "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothed the grass today, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire," it's talking about the blistering sun. The flower comes up, that hot sun hits it and burns it alive. "He will he not much more clothe you," here it is, "Oh, you of little faith." This is plain as I can say it. The reason we worry is that we do not trust God. What is the subject under consideration here? It's the subject of worry. It's Jesus giving us an answer to that subject. And now he gets down there and he says, listen, you're worried and you're anxious, and the reason why is that you have little faith. We worry because we do not trust God. You say, "Well, I believe in God." That's not what I'm talking about. According to James chapter 2, the demons believe in God. We've got to get a little further down the road than that with it. We have to trust him. I'm going to share this with you. About 3 weeks ago, this happens to me a lot. About 3 weeks ago, there was a phrase, a statement that got into my head. And I'm thinking about the statement, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking about it. And for like 3 weeks, I've been thinking about this. And here's the statement, because it's about trust and faith in God, and it fits right here. Listen. The phrase that I've thought of, that's gone through my mind 1,000 times, is this: a faith that cannot be shaken is a faith that has been shaken.
Amen.
A faith that cannot be shaken has been shaken. Years ago, I knew a woman, elderly woman, who was very, very sick with cancer. And back in the day, treatment for cancer was nothing like it is today. This poor soul suffered as much as any human being I've ever seen suffer. She was in a hospital in downtown Detroit one time, for 47 straight days and never got out of bed. But every time I would see her, she was always on topside. I never ever seen her melancholy. And so, much younger then, so I sat down, she's in the bed, pulled a chair up. I said, I have to ask you something because I need to know this. She said, preacher, you can ask me anything you want to. I said, do you ever get down? Do you ever have those moments to where, you know, God just isn't being right here? And this is what she told me. And I didn't know any of this about her. She said, years ago, I gave birth to a little girl. She says, my little girl lived for 7 years. She said, my little girl never took a step. She said, I never one time heard my little girl say, mama. So for 7 years, I gave my entire life to that little girl. And when at the age of 7, she died. And she looked at me and said, preacher, God helped me to get through the death of my daughter. God helped me to pull myself up out of that. And she said, from that time forth, I've always known if God could help me to get through that, there is nothing in my life I'll ever go through that God can't help me to get through. A faith that cannot be shaken is one that's been shaken.
Amen.
Oh, I want you to get this, and I'm afraid you're not getting it. And nobody's going home till we get it.
Amen.
Can't you look at your past? Can't you look back there and see times when you thought, this is, it's over? Listen, the passing of a mother, a father, a brother, or a sister, bone cancer.
Amen.
Can't you look at your past and see where you have been, what you have faced, all the drama in family, God bless family, but all the drama there and everywhere else? Can't you understand? The God who has brought us safe this far will continue to take us on. Trust him. Trust him. Well, I believe I'm talking about trust. Trust. When R2 was little, there was a deck on the back of the house. And I'd get off that deck and I'd tell them, come running. They'd rip across that deck in our backyard as hard as they could. And when they got to the end, with reckless abandon, they just jumped. You know why? They trusted me. They trusted me. That's what trust is. They didn't stand over there, well, Dad, I believe in you. They, come on. Oh, Dad, you the man. Well, I believe in you. I mean, with just reckless abandon. That's trust. That's trust. Jesus says, here's your answer. Why you have to keep getting pulled down off the ceiling? Because you're all up in the air about something. See yourself, see your value in the eyes of God. Learn to accept what you cannot change. I can't change this. Why am I worrying about this? Learn to trust in God. Number four, learn to see God as your Father. Learn to see God as your Father. Look at verse 31 and verse 32. Verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Now watch verse 32. For the pagans, who are pagans? Those are people who don't know God. For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. What are you saying, Jesus? Jesus is saying, listen, don't run around like the pagans worrying about everything from A to Z. That's what pagans do. That's what people who don't know God do. That's what people who don't have a relationship with God. That's how they live. Listen, that's not how we live. We're not to run around like the people who don't know God worrying about everything. Amen. Listen, let me put it like this. You have to learn to see God as your Father. God is not a stranger, he's your Father. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses the word Father at least 16 times. If you take the number of verses that make up the Sermon on the Mount and divide that number by the number 16, the number of times that Jesus calls God Father, what the average is that one in every seven verses, Jesus refers to God as Father. Jesus saw God. Jesus realized that God was Father. You need to realize that too. Earlier in the chapter of Matthew 6, Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this: our Father who art in heaven. Me and my father had a wonderful relationship because he was both mother and father past age. I was 12. Listen, he was my father. When I wanted something, I didn't go to him, oh, thou great Charlie old fox, thou whose daddy's name was Benjamin Asia Fox, and thou whose mama everybody just called Foxy, thou who didst have four brothers other than yourself, thou who didst have a son. My father would have looked at me and said, have you lost your mind, boy? Yeah. What do you want? Daddy, I want a quarter. Then ask for a quarter. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about approaching God disrespectful and without reverence. We approach him respectfully and with reverence, but the writer of Hebrews says we approach him with confidence. See God as your father. See God as your father. It's 10 minutes to noon. I got one more. It's 10 minutes to noon. I got one. Until you laugh at him, we're not going anywhere else. Number five. One, two, three, five. Learn to take life in pace. This is big. Look at verse 34. The last verse, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Listen, don't worry about tomorrow. Let me ask you something, and I'm dead serious. Listen, why would you add to today's troubles the imaginary troubles of tomorrow? Why would you do that? Here's what it comes down to as I close. Here's what it comes down to. Do you really believe in God? That's it. That's what this is. Do you really believe in God? Beginning in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, Jesus is in the upper room with the apostles, and he has a long, long conversation with them. John 13, 14, 15, 16. It's a long conversation. And Jesus is explaining to them that he's leaving. He's about to die. And they are greatly disturbed by this. It was the end, and they still didn't connect Jesus and what he was saying, that his kingdom was going to be spiritual and not physical. So they are greatly anxious, and their heart is broken as he explains to them, I'm leaving. And he tells them in John 14, beginning of verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Brethren, a troubled heart is an anxious heart.
Amen.
A troubled heart is a heart that's worried. Their lives, these men's lives are about to be totally turned upside down. And Jesus says, listen, don't be anxious about that. Don't be anxious about that. You say, well, why shouldn't we be anxious about that? And then he tells them in the same verse. Believe in God, believe also in me. And that phrase, believe in God, believe also in me, is in a present tense form, which means he said to them, listen, believe in God, keep believing in God, don't stop believing in God, whatever happens, believe in God, and keep believing in me. Listen, when your heart is troubled, the cure is faith and trust and belief in God. You say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, okay, great, but you can get there. You can get there. So many times we wait for our lives to crash and then look to see how much faith we got. Listen, get the faith now so when the crash comes, you'll be okay. Now I'm just talking. But you understand what I'm telling you here? That's the answer. The thing that wakes you up at night, there it is. That's the answer. But you got to believe. And you got to trust God. And you got to step out on that branch and believe that God won't let that branch break. And if I step out on that branch and that branch breaks, I'm going to say, hey, God, what would you do to me here? But you don't have to worry about that. God may not be on your timetable, but God's never been late anywhere. If you're here, you need to respond. Come right now.